Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Say goodbye to the food police and hello to peace. Welcome to the Love Food Podcast, hosted by dietitian and food behavior expert, Julie Duffy Dillon. This authentically engineered series is in the form of a love letter, welcoming you to reconnect with food. Now pour a cup of coffee or a margarita and let's begin. Hi, and welcome to episode 270 of the Love Food Podcast. I'm Julie Duffy Dillon, registered dietitian and partner on your food peace journey. I'm so glad you're here. Almost 6 years ago, I released the Love Food Podcast for the first time. And I have to say, 2021 is proving to be finally having more access to conversations about fat positivity and rejecting diets. When Intuitive Eating, the book by Evelyn Tribble and Elise Resch, is trending as a bestseller, well, I think the world is onto something. You know, they finally are catching on that diet culture is the biggest asshole. And, you know, there is another way to connect with food. Well, I know so many of you have been listening to podcasts like mine, scrolling through Instagram, and really absorbing all of this information, but yet maybe feeling like, well, how do I actually apply this? What do I do? Because it can be scary to take some big steps to rejecting diets. Well, I have a letter from someone who's in that space. They have been reading and listening and learning and unlearning, but they feel like they've been in a place of inaction. And I know this space of feeling like you're not really doing anything about your recovery, I know you can feel stuck there for a really long time. So I called upon Hannah Howard. She is the person who wrote the memoir Plenty and has her own lived experience recovering from an eating disorder. I'm so excited to share her wisdom with you. And before we get to that interview, and before we hear this episode's letter, a quick word from our sponsor. Do you have PCOS and you are ready to divorce that dumpster fire, also known as PCOS diets? Check out my free PCOS roadmap. I include ways to start off rejecting diets while living with PCOS. I get down to some tools that I find that have helped so many people over the years, including really naming who's to blame and how do you actually interact with these cravings? Are they useful? Should you ignore them? What should you do with them? This is what I explore in the roadmap and so much more. If you are interested, go to juliedillonrd.com/freebies and you'll get right to it. Again, my free PCOS roadmap is at juliedillonrd.com/freebies. All right, enough of all that. Let's get to this episode's letter. Dear food, our love and hate relationship has been ebbing and flowing. It all started really innocently wanting to opt for healthier options until it led me to an unhealthy place, a place where I feared you, a place where I felt guilty after eating you, and a place that took away all the pleasure and freedom around guilt. I've been recovering from an eating disorder for almost 2 years now, and although our relationship is relatively better, we could say that we're not in peace yet. Diet culture has made me believe that there are, quote, bad and, quote, good foods, that I should fear some of you, that some of you are evil. I really want to change that. I want to make peace with you. I'm trying to unlearn all the lies and myths diet culture has taught me, but it's hard, you know? I've been really trying hard to reject diets, the mentality of good and bad, and surround myself with anti-diet, body positivity, and food freedom content. But I'm struggling to take action steps to have a better relationship with you. It's easier to consume and motivate me with a lot of inspiring content, but it's overwhelming. I mean, there are so many fear foods I need to face, unlearn diet myths, change my mentality around food, learn to brush off diet comments, relearn how to listen to my body, and treat it with respect, and so much more than I need to do. I don't even know where to start. Also, I'm afraid. I feel alone, and I'm afraid of what will happen if I let go of control and food restriction. I really want to have a better relationship, but things like diet culture, fear of weight gain, or eating disorder thoughts get in the way. I won't give up food. I'm positive I will get to a place where I no longer fear you, but embrace you. I know I will get there one day. This girl needs a little guidance. Love, struggling, and overwhelmed while recovering.
Did you know that every time you listen to an ad on this podcast, you help cover the cost of producing Find Your Food Voice? Thank you to our sponsor, Equilibria Daily Women's Microbiome Defense. Because of them, my team and I can continue our independent podcast. Equilibria is a women-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and back, my mind and body back into harmony. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. It also promotes optimal vaginal pH. These probiotics were chosen because they are studied for women's health. And I love that you can subscribe. So if you find that Equilibria's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense helps you, you can subscribe so you don't have to think twice about running out and also save 25% off. I just started taking the Equilibria Daily Women's Microbiome Defense after a trip overseas that made my GI tract kind of funky. I am hoping that it helps make things just a little bit easier, easing back in. And also, as a woman in midlife, I'm always looking for ways to help with vaginal pH. If you are not in midlife yet, just be aware, it's a thing that is around the corner for you. So head to myeq.com and use code FOODVOICE for 15% off Equilibria's Microbiome Defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code FOODVOICE at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. All right, let's get back to the show.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there, letter writer. Thank you so much for this note. I hear your struggle. I hear your overwhelm. And I'm excited to introduce you to Hannah Howard. She is someone who has similar lived experience and has recently published her second memoir about her own eating disorder recovery and journey to connecting to more joy with food. So let's go ahead and give Hannah a call.
Hello, this is Hannah.
Hi, Hannah. This is Julie Duffy Dillon. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, it's great to connect with you. I'm excited to talk to you about this letter. Did you get a chance to read through it?
I did, and I really resonated with this person's kind of feeling of overwhelm and like, mm-hmm. this journey ahead feels really big.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that was the feeling of overwhelm was like the thing that I was taking away from it. Like the piling of all the things to do. And when you were reading through it, what was your impression about all of what this person's experiencing?
Well, first of all, I just really related to so much of it. I think also as we're kind of uncovering our own relationship with food and it, leaning into our own experiences with this sort of curiosity, it can be intense and it can be a lot. And it was for me. I mean, just I'll share a little bit about my own experience. So I struggled for quite a while with eating disorders in various permutations. Definitely was just someone always who, on the one hand, really did love food, loved cooking. The kitchen was the heart of my home, and my mom was an amazing cook. But at the same time, from this really young age, I got this message. I was the tallest girl in my class. I was the first person to get breasts, and I just kind of felt like there was something wrong with me, like I wasn't right, and that food and my body had something to do with that. And yeah, this sort of diet culture was in the air that I breathe, like it is for everyone. I don't think I could, I didn't have that term for sure, and probably didn't have that vision either, but I did really get that message that being smaller was better. And if I could somehow restrict my food and shrink my body, that, you know, my life would be happier and all would be well in the world. And spoiler alert, it didn't work out like that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big lie, like the big bullshit lie that diet culture tells all of us is like, hey, oh, you feel out of place or like something's wrong with you, you know, torture yourself with food and it'll fix it all up. Right. Like, and that's the big total lie.
Right. And it was a huge lie for me because I just became more and more, I think like this letter writer expressed too, more obsessive, more fearful about food. I think a lot in my recovery about food kind of taking up the right size and proportion in my life. And at this time in my life, it was anything but that. You know, it was like 95 or 99 or who knows, some huge percent of my thoughts and feelings and everything. I was just, you know, calculating and plotting and worrying and so fixated on what I was going to eat, what I wasn't going to eat, what I had just eaten. You know, it was just so, it felt so big. And so I think that that's kind of, it maybe it sounds counterintuitive, but something that helped me that I hope could help this letter writer a little bit is to focus on the other areas of life that bring you joy. Because I think for me, it's like sort of counterintuitive that even though this is an eating disorder and my struggles have been with food, you know, thinking more about food doesn't always help bring me peace. Thinking about other things, other people, other parts of life can be so much more restorative and fulfilling and fun for sure. So that's one. I have a few thoughts, and that's definitely one of them.
I think that's really important. And you know, when you were talking about like that percentage, like 95% of your thoughts, like, were about food, weight, calculating, trying to solve this like massive math problem. And that's like a brain that's just so full. Like, how can you think about all these other things? And part of the struggle that I'm seeing in this letter is, and I know so many people can relate to it, is like she's like, oh, I see that this is like taking up so much space. And, but yet I don't think I'm doing it right. So if I think about it less, then I'm going to lose control. But like, that's what I'm hearing from you is like, I thought I was in control But really, I was just obsessing over food and missing out on my life.
That's exactly it. And it's kind of right. The bigger these food thoughts got, even though, you know, objectively, I look back and I feel lucky because I, even in the midst of this real struggle and real suffering that I was going through, I was lucky enough to have some amazing friends and families and opportunities and things in my life, but I didn't get to actually enjoy them or appreciate them because I was just completely distracted by my own obsessions.
Yeah. It's so distracting, right? Like it takes so much space. And I think about too, with your experience in the restaurant industry too, while also struggling with like recovery, that had to make it so messy. You know, just like food was everywhere too at the same time.
Absolutely. And I think for me too, right, like pursuing a career in food, first in restaurants and then in food writing, for me was motivated in part by passion and joy and some really positive things. And then on the other flip side, also part of that, the things I've talked about before, those darker impulses of that, like sort of fear and worry and obsession, that was part of it too. And so for me, recovery has been this very slow, long process of untangling those two things and kind of redirecting myself. Sometimes it feels like a million times over towards that joy and curiosity and appreciation for food, for the people who make it, for recipes, for the way that food can bring people together, and kind of focusing on that side of the coin and slowly kind of turning that volume down on the other stuff that, of course, like I'm still human and I think, right, I still live in diet culture and I think I'm always going to be someone who has to watch out for those thoughts. Like I might still always have them, but they're so, they don't take over my life for today. You know, they're so much quieter. And I know when they come, another piece of advice too, is just to find some people, you know, it could be one friend who gets it, or a therapist, or whoever it is, just some support system of people to, because for me also the eating disorder was a very lonely experience because I was really embarrassed and ashamed about it and didn't share. And so it just was a huge weight to carry on my own. And such a big part of recovery has been finding people who get it and not being alone with it anymore and getting to commiserate and getting to have people kind of nod and smile and give me a hug and say they've been there too. And that's just, that feels like a huge weight lifted off my shoulder.
Oh yeah. You know, that's the reason why I made this podcast to begin with, because I was, I've been a clinician for 20 years and helping people recover. And something that I noticed were like, even people who had completely different lived experiences, their eating disorder may even look different, but there were so many themes that were the same. And a lot of it was the shame and the loneliness that you describe and just feeling so alone in the burden, like this heavy, heavy burden. And I was like, oh, I wish like my clients, I know there's like this HIPAA thing. They can't hear what my clients are saying, but like, I wish they could be a fly on the wall to like hear and feel this connection, this like theme that, and you're not alone, even though like that's part of like the big lie that diet culture pushes is like you're the only one that can't, you know, have your shit together. And no, like that's like why we need to turn it on its head. And I think that's so helpful because hearing you talk about how like it's been a long journey, it wasn't something that was overnight. And like reading through this letter, I was getting the sense that this person was feeling really overwhelmed. Like they just couldn't make it happen fast enough. Like even they're like, well, I've been reading all this content, but I feel like I'm not in an action phase yet. And my kind of like curiosity was like, I wonder what they're expecting out of action, you know, because this takes time because we live in this world that's like totally reinforcing this. But yeah, finding one person who can say, yeah, I hear you at least, you know? Yeah.
And we've been doing this one thing our whole lives. So, right, having this sort of seed change in our perspective and our experience, it's right. It's not a sort of overnight thing for anyone. It's definitely a process. So I feel like just having that sort of compassion for yourself and that expectation that it might be a slow process is okay. That's part of it, I think.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Well, and you've given some really great steps. And I, before I move on, I want to make sure I didn't skip over anything. Were there any other steps that you had in mind, or did we cover them all?
I think those are the main
awesome
points. Mm-hmm. Connecting with others, giving yourself a little time and compassion and curiosity, and kind of realizing that this is a journey that doesn't happen overnight, and that's okay.
Yes. Oh, good. Yes. 100%. And there's a part of the Love Food podcast called the Food Peace Syllabus. If you're new to the show, it's a collection of resources that we've been putting together for the last 5 or 6 years now. And if you want the most recent copy, go to juliedillonrd.com/freebies and you can get to it. And I'm wondering what you would like to put on the Food Peace syllabus, huh?
I hope it's okay to include my own.
Yes, 100%. That's why I wanted you to come on the show, because I want you to tell us about it. It sounds amazing and super helpful for this letter writer and other people who can identify with it. Yeah, so tell us about it.
So I have two books, and my first one is really especially about my struggle with and recovery from my eating disorder while working my way through restaurants and falling in love with the food and hospitality business. It's called Feast True Love In and Out of the Kitchen. And then my second book, which came out last month, Plenty, A Memoir of Food and Family, kind of picks up the story and is a little bit more about kind of creating this life in recovery and a little bit more about the after what happens, about finding my family and finding a community of women in the food world who are kind of making amazing things happen with food, from a caterer to a sommelier to a cheesemaker to a chef. Yeah, I would be incredibly honored to include my books.
I would love that. And, you know, hearing about your second memoir, how it's kind of the next step for your recovery process and painting a picture of what that looks like. And of course, I love your connection with cheese. I've read it about your love of cheese. I'm like, oh yes, I am totally down with this. But the thing that I think will be really helpful for a listener, many people have talked to me about like just not being able to picture what recovery could actually look like. And so sessions oftentimes would be even just like, well, let's think about it and like paint that picture for yourself, so your brain can have something to like connect with as a reality. You know, like this could be the next step possibly. And so I think about this memoir could be a really great example just for someone to be like, oh, this is what recovery could look like. This is what it was like for her. So looking at the different options. And so I appreciate that. And I will definitely put both of those on the Food Peace syllabus. Those are a welcome addition. And if people want to find out more about you, where can people go to find out more about your work, your books, and all the things you're doing right now?
You can check out my website, which is Hannah, H-A-N-N-A-H, Howard.nyc, or you can follow me on Twitter at Hannah Howard or Instagram at Hannah M, like Mary Howard.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Hannah. I appreciate your time, your expertise, and sharing your lived experience. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It's definitely an honor to get to chat with you.
So there you have it. Letter writer, I hope my conversation with Hannah Howard helped you to find kind of that bridge from consuming content to feeling like you are rest assured making steps forward. We know you already are. Rejecting diet culture and recovering from eating disorders is something that I don't think people appreciate is really hard to do. And know that you are not alone. Hannah and I are rooting for you, and everyone else that's listening who can totally relate to what you're experiencing is rooting for you too. I see that food has written back, but before we get to food's letter, this episode of a Love Food podcast is brought to you by my PCOS roadmap. Are you affected by PCOS and wanting some non-diet tools to help you to move forward? Well, I have a free resource just for you. Go to juliedillonrd.com/freebies and you'll get right to it. If you enjoyed this episode of the Love Food Podcast, I would love it if you left a rating, a review, subscribed, or shared an episode. Doing any of those acts of kindness really helps the show grow. Especially for those of us who are independent podcasters. We don't have these big networks pushing us and getting us to different ears. So anytime you can share the show or leave a rating or review, it helps more people find the Love Food Podcast and have access to food peace. Well, I am excited to go and order Hannah Howard's book, Plenty. It sounds amazing. I love memoirs. And I will circle back around and let you know what I think about it. But it sounds like it's going to be a rich resource along the food peace journey. And until next time, take care. Dear struggling and overwhelmed while recovering, you are not alone. Let's say it again. You are not alone. Diet culture has persuaded you, us, and our culture that it can fix all our issues if we can just follow its arbitrary and ever-changing rules. Let's call out its bullshit. It is covering up access to connection, relationships, and joy. These will help you feel grounded in the overwhelm. Remember that recovery is a long process, and we encourage you to connect with at least one person who gets that. They can remind you of your wisdom and beauty and how it exists whether you follow diet rules or not. Compassionately turn toward those reminders, because that's the joy that will fuel your food peace journey. Love, food.
Thank you for listening. I am Julie Duffy Dillon, and this is a Love Food Podcast. Do you want access to more food peace? Jump on over to my website and join my email list. There, I share exclusive content that I don't share anywhere else. Get access to these tips and strategies by going to juliedillonrd.com/sign up. And I look forward to seeing you here next week for another episode of the Love Food Podcast. Take care.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.